My love, this morning's session is all about mastering your mindset. And this is an open Q&A. So if you've ever been on one of these fantastic Circle and Bloom calls, you know that we do teaching, we do open Q&A. And one of the reasons why we do this particular session is because it really gives you an opportunity to ask questions that you might not ask otherwise, right? You know, this is all about having a safe environment to ask your most heartfelt, intelligent questions. And for those of you who are new to the Circle and Bloom monthly teleseminar, let me introduce myself again. My name is Roseanne Austin. I am a fertility mindset coach. What does that mean? I help women around the world get pregnant and make their dream of being a mom come true. My ladies have babies, and it is all about harnessing the power of mindset. Mindset is the foundation of everything we do, my loves. You cannot get around mindset. You just can't. Mindset is what is going to help you make the decisions to move forward in your journey, to make different choices. I mean, it's everything. Your mindset, if you look around your life, your mindset is reflected in everything around you, what you're willing to tolerate, what you really go for in your life, you know, what you think of yourself. Like, it is all reflection. Our outside is always a reflection of what's going on inside. That is why mindset is so important. And, you know, I really want to honor you for being here this morning. It is absolutely an indicator that you want more for yourself on this journey. You want to show up on this journey. You want to be knee deep in making your dreams come true on this journey. And you know what? My hat is off to you, my darlings, because I was there too. You know, years ago when I started my own fertility journey, like I said before, in a different teleseminar, I wasn't half as smart as you. I probably wouldn't have gotten on something like this because I thought, oh, I've got it. You know, I was a state prosecutor here in California at the time that I was going through the very worst aspects of my journey. And I figured, you know, I'm a smart woman. I'm highly educated. I am a pit bull of a trial attorney. What do I need to think about mindset? You know, the thing that's going to help me get pregnant is medicine. Now, don't misinterpret that as, you know, me throwing shade on medicine. I think it's fantastic. It's helping women make their dreams come true. And I have no issue with that. But it's not the only piece of the puzzle. If you've been on this journey long enough, you realize that it isn't just about medicine or diet or acupuncture, all these things. You've got to have the complete picture. And that all begins with your mindset. What you think and what you believe will dictate the choices, the fertility team you build, the people you bring around you, and ultimately the trajectory of your journey. All comes down to what you think and believe, because in every single moment we're making choices that have a ripple effect in our lives. And I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm really saying that to inspire you, because the cool thing is the one thing you can control on this journey, my love, is you. So what we're going to do this morning is we're really going to dig into your questions. I'm going to start off this morning's call with teaching you a couple really quick mindset hacks. And then we're going to open this up so that you can ask me, you know, any question that comes up from what I've taught, or if you're currently facing something, you know, we'll work through that and, you know, see what's true for you. Because look, one of the coolest things about working with mindset is you become more and more aware of what's true for you. And awareness is key. Now, here's what's different about coaching than just sitting around talking with a bunch of ladies. There's accountability. What we're looking for is, you know, what is it that you're going to do about this that you become aware of? You know, that's where you really separate, you know, wishful thinking from absolutely successful doing. You know, and that's what we want for you. That is exactly the point of even having a conversation. You know, because the key to your success is going to come down to what you think and what you believe. And so not in a magical or mystical way, but actually in a quite logical and linear way. And we're going to get more into that in a little bit. But, you know, I really want you to just take a moment right now as we're getting started, and I believe that we have the technical issues settled. You know, take a moment right now and set your intention. What is your intention during the time that we have together? You know, are you going to have an open mind? Are you going to raise your hand and ask a question? Are you going to be the woman who is visible, who's not just going to sit there and feel invisible and not ask any questions, even though she has something really burning on her heart and she has nobody else to ask about it? Okay, how are you going to show up? Who is the woman that you're going to be? You know, are you going to come to this with an open mind and an open heart? So make the decision now. Set your intention, and then we'll get started. You got an intention? Okay, awesome. So super quick, you know, we really want to send a huge shout out to Circle and Bloom for making this possible. One of the reasons why I love the Circle and Bloom audience is because I was one of y'all. When I was knee deep in my journey, you know, having the resource of Joanne, her beautiful voice, you know, getting me to think of my body differently, to think about myself differently, you know, as I was going through the endless IUIs, IVFs, frozen embryo transfers over the very many, 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 many years that my husband and I were on this journey, having the sound of Joanne's voice in the background was a game changer for me. It was an absolute game changer. So each and every one of you, I hope that you're going to be sending so much gratitude and so much love to Circle and Bloom for making this possible. They are on the cutting edge, and they are so supportive of their community, and it shows. So, my loves, for those of you who may be new to the Circle and Bloom teleseminar series, really quick, again, my name is Roseanne Austin. I'm a fertility mindset coach. I help women around the world get pregnant and make their dreams of being a mom come true. My ladies have babies, as I said before. I lived this journey. The things that I'm going to be sharing with you this morning, this isn't just stuff that I read out of a book and in theory. This is the absolute truth of what I lived. I have thousands of hours of coaching experience, coaching women all over the world to make their dreams come true on this journey. Like I said, my ladies have babies, and I handle the mindset piece. Your doctor, your acupuncturist, your nutritionist, they do their piece. We all work together in concert for you. But mindset is a piece that so often gets overlooked. It's the piece that gets treated like a nice to have. But my darlings, again, I'm going to say this 1,000 times, maybe, during the course of our time together, mindset's everything. Mindset is everything. It is the foundation. Like you think of a foundation in a house, like the house can't stand without a strong foundation. If you want success on this journey, you better have a strong mindset, okay? And we're going to get into more of that. But I lived this journey, and I want you to take the lessons that I learned and, you know, chew them up, you know, and see how they feel for you. You know, try them on. And really my point here is to get you thinking, to provoke you lovingly, okay, into shaking things up on your journey. Because look, you can't keep doing the same old thing over and over again and expect a different result, right? Isn't it Einstein that they attribute that quote to? You know, that's, you know, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result is the definition of insanity. You know, think about that, okay? So the first thing that I really want to teach you this morning is definitely in Roseanne Austin language, and that's this: quit being realistic, okay? There is nothing that will drive a woman to tears than hearing, oh, just be realistic, right? Especially on this journey. Think about how we tend to use that phrase, you know, oh, just be realistic. Or if you're talking to yourself and or you're thinking through something and you just say, oh, I've got to be realistic. Or maybe somebody in your life comes up to you and says, oh, do you really need to do another round of IVF? Why don't you just be realistic and do X, Y, Z? You know, we typically use this being realistic in a pejorative way. You know, it's meant to confine. It's meant to tamp down your desires or dump a giant bucket of ice water on what you really want in this life. you know, and there tends to be, like, depending on how it's being delivered or if you're the one using it, you know, when you hear somebody just say, oh, just be realistic, there is a really disgusting and horrifying undercurrent of shaming in that. And there's nothing more heartbreaking than shaming a woman who is just going after her dreams. And so I really want you to pay attention. You know, what is your definition of realistic? What do you want your definition of realistic to be? Is it going to be somebody else's definition? You know, somebody else who's so full of fear, or somebody who has a really strong money story and thinks that you're crazy for spending money on yourself on this journey? Or is it going to be your definition of realistic? You know, what is it going to be? Because being realistic, you know, we tend to say, okay, well, the statistics say this or the statistics say that. And then we absolutely attribute being realistic to following the statistics. Well, here's the problem with that. If that is your definition, you will be a statistic. If those are the confines that you live in, and if that's what you're limiting yourself to, you run the risk to being a statistic, okay? So I really want you to take that in and see, you know, how does that feel for you? You know, do you want to create a different definition of realistic? You know, because the truth is, you know, what's really realistic is that there are women out there every single day all over the world, my loves, who are not confined by the statistics. And they are absolutely beating them. You know, and it's funny because, you know, the information that we're typically spoon-fed is, you know, that, you know, these are the confines, this is what you should expect, blah, 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 blah. But it's not the full story. You know, like I was saying, women all over the world are making their dreams come true. And who are these women, you might be asking yourself? These are the ones with the mindset for success. They will not be confined. And let me give you an example. I have a client in South America, and she's 45, and she's pregnant, having used her own eggs because of what she thought and what she believed. I mean, think about it. We have a 45-year-old woman. I'm going to be 45 this year. You know, when if you walk into a practitioner's office and they hear that you're 45, you know, most of the time they're handing you a set of literature that might not be related to having a baby, you know, on your own. You know, they're handing you other ideas. They're doing this. They're doing that. But they're certainly not encouraging you across the board. Not always. You know, you might find the rare gem that's going to say, hey, I believe in you, let's go do this. But for the most part, if you're in your mid-40s, they're handing you dismal statistics. They're telling you to, you know, explore other options and all this other stuff. Okay, we'll just put it that way. But the reality is this particular client in South America, she wasn't going to live by that. And she made the decision that she was going to follow her gut. She was going to do everything she knew to do, and she's pregnant now. And it's what's incredible about this, and why I share her story. I can't really say much more about who she is to protect her confidentiality, but this example is, this is what happens when your definition of realistic includes possibility, okay, rather than just being confined by what everybody else is telling you. And, you know, look, I'm not suggesting that you disregard statistics. That's ridiculous. I mean, that's not sensible. What I am encouraging you to do is to have an expansive view. See the whole picture. Yes, statistics are part of the picture, but those only cover the things that are being studied. You've got to open your eyes completely and have peripheral vision and see the whole picture that, yes, there are going to be some people that are covered by these statistics, but there is a whole host of other people who are not, who are absolutely not, and they are absolutely defying the odds left and right. So this is what I want you to do super quick. You know, quit being realistic. Make a definition of realistic that is your own. You know, really take a look at what realistic means to you. Okay, if currently being realistic, if you beat yourself up and say, you know, I really need to be realistic, you want to look at that. If I feel really bad when I tell myself to be realistic, what is that telling me? What does that say about my definition of realistic? And I'll mention this to you at this point because look, if you don't like your definition of realistic, it's probably because it is intellectually dishonest. Okay, because it's probably super focused on the negative and it makes you feel bad. And when I say it's intellectually dishonest, I mean this. It doesn't take into account all of the facts. It's just taking into account the negative ones. The negative ones that will keep you small and keep you miles away from what you want to create on this journey. Okay, so take a little time today if you get a chance and say, hey, you know, how am I going to use this statement or this phrase of just be realistic? Am I going to use it to lift myself up because my definition of realistic is freaking awesome? Or am I going to use it to keep myself down because my definition of realistic is based on fear, lack, scarcity, and self-doubt and a host of other gremlins like that, right? So that's the first nugget that I have for you. Quit being realistic. And I say that with love, my darlings. Now, the second thing that I want to share with you really quickly is, and I say this with love, watch your mouth. And what I mean by that is, look, the most powerful insurance policy that you have for success on your journey lies between your ears. It is that beautiful, gorgeous, unlimited brain of yours. It's such a wonderful thing. And our language, the kind of language that we use, the words that we use are reinforcing every single minute, every single second of the day, our set of beliefs. Okay, and I'm zeroing in on this because most of us don't really think about the language we use. We just kind of fall into patterns, is what we can call them. And we just start, you know, we use words like, oh, I can't, I shouldn't. That's not available to me. That's too expensive. That's for other people. You know, I don't spend money that way, or I couldn't possibly do that. You know, that's like one set of words. The other words you might be using as you're moving through your day is, you know, I'm such a loser. You know, why her and not me? You know, and all these words that reinforce something for you, and I would invite you to consider that they are reinforcing the exact opposite of what you want on this journey. You really have to look. You know, when I'm encouraging you to watch your mouth, I'm really asking you, are your words reinforcing limitation or are they supporting possibility on this journey? You know, are your words reinforcing limitation or are they supporting you to have new possibility? You know, think about, like, whenever you say, I can't do this, I can't possibly do this, or I'm too old for that, like, you're immediately throwing up an 800-foot ice wall, and that's for those of you who are Game of Thrones fans, you know, between you and what you want. You know, and our words are really sneaky. The language that we use is really sneaky because, as I said before, you know, most of us are kind of unconscious to it until we become aware. Like, wow, you know, how many times have I said something negative about myself in the past 2 minutes? You know, you might even be listening to this right now and thinking something negative. Like, oh, my God, I couldn't possibly have that much energy. Or, oh, my God, I couldn't possibly, you know, color outside of the lines. You know, somebody's going to tell me I'm not being realistic. They're, you know, people are going to tell me I'm crazy, you know, and maybe I am. You know, just think about that. Think about even those words that I just gave you an example of. You know, you are literally programming your subconscious mind for scarcity, lack, limitation, and even worse, failure, my loves. And the words that you're using, like I said, they're programming that subconscious. They are an indicator of your current set of beliefs. So you really got to look at your words. So the challenge that I'm going to present you with, okay, well, hey, whenever, if you're new to these teleseminars, you got to know that the intention here is that you're going to walk away with things that you can actually apply, okay? We're not just, you know, yes, we are warm and fuzzy, but at the same time, we're not just blowing smoke. We want you to take this information. The whole point of having education is to become aware and begin to use these lessons however you choose in your own life. Tailor them. You are smart. You are creative, resourceful, and whole. You can take this information and apply it however you wish on your journey. Yes, you are that powerful. So the challenge I have for you is over the course of the next 7 days, I want you to watch your mouth, my darlings. All you have to do is become aware of the language that you are using. How are you speaking about yourself? How are you speaking about your possibilities on this journey? You know, what is the, you know, are you using language like, oh, I'll do that if my doctor lets me? Yikes. Underscore the word let. Like, really? Somebody, another person has that much power over you? You know, you have to ask somebody else for permission to do something? You know, yes, I'm not encouraging you to run around and defy your doctor's orders, but listen to what that implies, that somebody else has power. You know, how about thinking about it this way? I'm going to consult with my doctor so I can make a great choice. Very different than I have to ask my doctor and see if they let me. Very, very different. The languaging is subtle in its difference, but it is very powerful, and it keeps you as a peer and as a co-creator with that doctor rather than being subordinate to them. And having coached many, 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 many physicians on this journey, there is nothing smart, thoughtful, and considerate physicians love than a patient that works in concert with them, is a partner, okay? And there is something magical that happens when you are working with your team as a peer and as an equal rather than handing your power over to someone. It's a very different experience, my love. So watch your mouth over the course of the next 7 days. Really take a look at the language that you're using. Is it language of limitation or is it language of possibility? Your dream of being a mom is so incredibly precious. Surround that, protect that, and support that dream with language that's actually going to help you get there. Okay, and this is important because you cannot think one thing and expect a different result. That doesn't make any sense. You know, if you're using negative language, if you're thinking negative thoughts, you can't expect a different result. You want to have your thoughts support the goal. And in this context, you want your language to support the goal. You know, when I am pregnant, or you can say, if you want it to be more in present tense, you know, I am fertile, I am young, you know, things like that. You know, some people call that affirmation. Some people call it mantras. It doesn't matter what you call it, but you want, it's all along the lines of really watching your mouth. So, my loves, I'm going to open it up. I've taught you a little bit this morning about two things, and that's one, quit being realistic, and I gave you all the reasons why you want to consider or reconsider your definition of what realistic is so you can actually use it to support yourself, not shame you into becoming small and invisible on this journey, but to really lift you up and to help you decide, you know, am I going to be a statistic or am I going to look at the whole picture that shows me all of the possibility? Because there are women left and right all over the planet right here and now beating the odds, and I'm going to be one of them. Okay. And then the second thing that we covered is watch your mouth, my love. You know, be really cognizant of the language that you're using because your words are either reinforcing limitation or they're supporting possibility. Make sure that you are making the right choice for yourself in that area. So now I'm going to open up the phone lines. And for those of you who are on this call and you're like, oh my gosh, I totally know I need a mindset shift on this. Before I take your calls, I'll just let you know, I mean, this happens all the time during these calls, is so many of you are like, oh my God, Roseanne, how do I, you know, I want to learn about this. So if you want to do that, I'll be sharing, you know, more information about how you can do that toward the end. But so don't worry, I've got you covered. But I really want to take your questions. So for those of you who have questions and you've called in, you can hit star 2 on your telephone keypad and just ask me a question. There are no stupid questions. There are just questions of women who really want to get to the next level on this journey and who really want to, you know, create a different experience on your journey, you know. So let me take this first one. Okay, so this is coming in from Virginia. So it says, Elizabeth in Virginia says, we are taking a hiatus from my in-laws. My sisters-in-law are always saying things like, I'm so good at making babies and similar things. I brought it up that that's hurtful. Her response was, well, I can't be thinking five steps ahead of what I say and wondering if it will bother you or not. How do you respond to that? Oh, Elizabeth, oh my goodness, what a great question. Okay, when it comes to familial relationships and your journey, this is where the smart woman will take a step back and ask herself, how do I want to be in my relationships? What do I want to have as my structure for my relationships? And in with your question, Elizabeth, it's going to be specifically about family. You know, what role do you want family to have in your journey? How much are you, you know, how involved do you want them to be? How much of a say do you want them to have? And most importantly, what are your boundaries about the behavior of other people in your life, particularly your family? Is it actually okay with you for them to be aware that you're struggling and for them to take no responsibility whatsoever for their behavior? Okay, so let me make that a little bit more clear. You know, what are you really up for? If you tell a family member that a certain statement hurts you, you know, are you really available to be the woman that just, you know, has them blow you off, which that kind of sounded fairly dismissive. But, you know, if you want to talk this through with me, you can call in and hit *2 on the telephone keypad and we'll walk it through. But are you really available for that? Are you really going to tolerate that? Now, here's, you know, there are two sides to this, right? This is your sister-in-law. She has a responsibility to be aware of her actions, okay? So she has to take responsibility for her actions. But your responsibility in this is deciding if you're willing to tolerate that. Because there's, you know, when we're looking at mindset, and because we're talking about mastering your mindset in this Q&A session, you know, you've got to take responsibility for your piece. Are you going to subject yourself to interacting with somebody that behaves that way? And if you are, you've got to take responsibility for that. You can't make her do anything. You know, certainly it would be nice if she would take you into consideration, but the reality is you have to be responsible for yourself. Do you want to spend as much time with her? You know, maybe you're going to make a decision to that you are not available to be around people who are inconsiderate. And again, those are my words, not yours. But I think you get the gist. You know, a woman who has a mindset for success on this journey, one of the critical and consistent characteristics is she is responsible for herself. And if she is not receiving the respect and the consideration that she desires and that she knows she is worth, then she's going to make decisions that are going to be in alignment with that. And that doesn't mean that you have to cut yourself off from people or that you're better than anyone else. It just means that you know what you're available for on this journey, and being perhaps not treated the way that you desire to be treated, or, you know, being treated without the consideration that you desire, that doesn't work for you, and then you make different choices. So I hope that's helpful, Elizabeth. I mean, if there's some refinement that you want to make, then, you know, we can get on the phone and we can talk about that. I also have a question from Allie in New York City. Have you helped women with POF? Okay. Allie, here's where I want you to be a little bit more specific, because there's tons of acronyms about different conditions, and I don't want to speak to something that you're not, that, you know, perhaps might be a little different than you're referring to. So if you wouldn't mind typing in just a little bit of clarification on that, because with, I mean, everybody runs around with different acronyms here, so I want to make sure that I'm answering your question correctly. So while you're doing that, I'm going to jump over to Laura in Edina, Minnesota. Do you have a recommendation for how open to be about the process with friends and colleagues, especially when it is encompassing years and affects time at work and social life? Ah, beautiful question, Laura. So thoughtful. You know, here's where you've really got to take a step back and you want to ask yourself, who is going to be, and I've taught this before in this teleseminar series, this concept of the velvet rope. And, you know, when you're going into, let's say a club in Vegas, I don't know if you ever go to Vegas, Laura, but just run with me on this example. You know, you've got to wait behind the velvet rope before they let you in. You know, there's going to be all these different criteria. And, you know, you've got to wait behind the velvet rope. And when you're thinking about friends and family, colleagues, you know, I like to think about them in the same way. Nobody has a right to play any role on your journey unless you invite them to play that role. And, you know, you get to create your inner circle of support, whether that's family, coworkers, friends, chosen family. You know, you get to basically curate who's around you, and that encompasses, you know, how much you tell them. Because this is your life, my darling. This is your reality. This is your story. This is sacred. And nobody just gets to barge their way into that. And, you know, so I don't have a specific recommendation about how to be open, per se, other than to begin first by making the decision of who you want to be on your side of the velvet rope. You know, because how open you are is going to depend on the person, right? Like, you're not going to just tell, you know, everybody at work. You might tell a chosen few, or maybe it's just the people at work that you report to that you might be more open with. You know, there's all kinds of different, you know, angles that you can take with this. So it all starts with you. Everything on this journey starts with you. And I say that with love, and I say that with excitement, because as I said before, is you are the one thing on this journey that you can control. You're the one thing, okay? And so that's really critical. So you've got to decide for yourself, what role do I want my family to play? What role do I want my coworkers to play? What role do I want my friends to play? And based on the roles that you desire them to play, how much are you going to let them in? You know, how much do you want them to know? Do you want them to have every play-by-play? You know, do you want them to know everything about, you know, what's going on with your cycle? You know, some women are extremely open. Some women are just, you know, like I was on the very first part of my journey. I was living a double life. Like, I felt like Batman half the time because, you know, I was in and out of my office. And as a prosecutor, that, you know, I was in court like for almost 8 hours a day. And so that made things a little difficult. You know, I was disappearing here and disappearing there to go to my appointments. But, you know, I just wasn't in a place at that time that I was going to be very open. But that's because my mindset wasn't strong. I didn't really have a great sense of who I wanted to be on this journey, and I hadn't done the work that I'm encouraging you to consider this morning, is get in front of it. Decide ahead of time who's, you know, where you want people to be in your life. And there's no reason why there can't be a hierarchy, you know, that just like our relationships with people, you know, one friend might be closer than another friend, then, you know, you're going to make the same subtle decisions for yourself as well. So, you know, you get to decide what feels right to you and the people that you want on your side of the velvet rope. So I hope that helps, Laura. And if you want to work through that, hit *2 on the telephone keypad and we can talk through it. I also have a question here from Farzana. Farzana, I really hope that I'm pronouncing your name right. And if I'm not, please don't take that as any disrespect. Just whatever. So Farzana says, I'm 37. I saw a fertility specialist and decided not to pursue any medical treatment as it didn't feel right. I always thought that I would end up going down the IVF route, but it feels liberating to say, no, I'm the only person I know who's made a decision like this that I know. How can I stay strong and not doubt the decision that I've made when other people question it? Ah, fantastic question, Farzana. Beautiful. You know, one of the first things that I would encourage you to do is zero in on this piece about it didn't feel right. Okay, there was something in you that obviously said, this doesn't feel right. So when you are clear about why that is, then you can train yourself to become impervious to the opinions of others, and you can deepen your relationship with that why so that you can begin to trust it. You know, it's all about you. You're going to hear me repeat this over and over again. It all starts with you. And, you know, when you're clear about what really matters to you, when you are clear about what you're up for on this journey, that is all that matters. And when you know it's coming from a place deep within you that is not fear-based and is not based on self-doubt, but truly based on what you know is right for you, then you can cultivate unshakable confidence. You know, that's, I'll give you an example, Farzana, is, you know, they were telling me that I needed donor eggs since I was 37. I was a spring chicken at 37. And I remember a doctor telling me, you know, you really need to look at donor eggs. And this is after one failed cycle of IVF. I had done, you know, a bunch of different IUIs and all kinds of stuff. And I was like, wait a minute, I'm 37. And look, you know, I don't want you to misinterpret. I don't want anybody on this call to be misinterpreting that I had some kind of a judgment on donor eggs. I think donor eggs are brilliant. I think it's fantastic. I think it's a beautiful gift that one woman gives another, is the possibility of having a baby with the support of another woman. I think it's a beautiful thing. But I just wasn't there. And I don't say there as if it was, you know, some kind of a hole that you're in. It just wasn't where I was at. And I wasn't against it. I just wasn't there. That wasn't where I, you know, was ready to go. There was just something in me, like you, Farzana, that was like, you know, I'm not against it, but I just don't feel like that's where I'm at. And so, you know, we continued to pursue IVF and like a bazillion rounds of IVF and frozen embryo transfers. And I felt like I was eating the alphabet soup of fertility treatments, you know. And if you have never been on a call before, you may not know this about me, but I'm going to be 45 this year, and I had a healthy baby boy last year, conceived naturally, okay, after years and years and years and years of fertility treatment failure and basically being told that it would never happen for me and that I needed donor eggs. Well, I have a perfectly healthy baby boy who is in his crib upstairs asleep right now because I believed in myself. And my darling, I invite you to consider having, you know, cultivating your version of that belief in yourself as well. You know, and this is the finer point that I want to put on this. You know, go back when you said it just didn't feel right. I really want you to get grounded. What does that really mean for you? It didn't feel right. Is that from a place of fear, or is it there's something within you that knows that maybe going, you know, continuing to try naturally is the way you're going to do it? Or, you know, if you're going, you know, just short of IVF and you want to do IUI, like, is there something about IUI that is really calling to you, that you really feel drawn to, that you feel like, you know, your baby's going to come that way? You know, when I really mastered, I think mastery is an ongoing process. So when I really began my own journey when it came to mindset, there was just something in me that was like, no, I know I've got all these failures. I've got no reason to believe this is going to happen for me, but I believe it's going to happen for me, you know? And that's why I said, you know, quit being realistic in the beginning. That's why I taught that, because realistic confines you to statistics. And I had some of the worst statistics. I had some of the worst numbers. It was grim as hell. I mean, there was just all kinds of stuff. And I just said to myself, no, my view of realistic is quite open, because I see women all over the world doing the most amazing things, getting pregnant in their 40s, getting pregnant at 50. You know, that's going to be me. I just made the decision that I was going to be successful. And when I really made that decision, I did the work on my mindset and I continue to do it, you know, that became my reality. It became my reality, and his name is Asher. So I really want that for you too, Farzana, in your own way. So bottom line here, go back to your why. Why doesn't it feel right to you? And really get clear on that. And look, you have the right to change your mind at any time. If you want to finesse your why, and if you want to later open, you know, your heart to another avenue, great. You're a woman. That's one of the things that we have as women, is we have the right to change our minds, right? So you get to finesse that, and you get to stay strong and not doubt your decision by really getting to the core of why you're making it. Okay, and if there's something you notice about that, you say, oh, you know, there's a little bit of fear in this, then all you have to do is do the mindset work to tweak that so that you can come to an even stronger decision that's not based on fear, that feels really great. So I hope that helps, Farzana. You asked a beautiful question, my darling, and I'm really, really excited for you. This is exactly the kind of question that really is going to catapult you towards success. So I am glad that you asked that. Okay, so Allie, thank you so much, sweetheart, for clarifying that for me. So Allie wrote back in that POF is premature ovarian failure. Yes, I have worked with women who have had that particular situation and very happily have overcome it. So there is also a question here from Amy in Houston. My father-in-law was just diagnosed with stage 4 prostate cancer, and I don't know how to balance the emotional needs of myself and my husband, as well as I'm about to start my first IVF cycle. We are focused on being there for each other, but sometimes it's so hard with both struggling with significant life situations. Oh, beautiful question, Amy. So smart, so thoughtful. So, my darling, first of all, I am sorry to hear about your father-in-law. That's so heartbreaking. One of the things, because it seems like when we're on this journey, like things just keep coming at us. I love that you and your husband are there for each other. And, you know, one of the things that you might want to consider is really compartmentalizing things, putting really strong boundaries around the time that you have together and then the time that you're going to devote to your father-in-law, and really keeping those boundaries sacred so that when you're with your father-in-law, like I'm not sure if, you know, he's close by or that you guys are actively involved in, you know, his care or whatever, because it's not here. If you want to call in and hit star 2 on your telephone keypad, we can talk that through. But, you know, there, you've got to really protect yourself at this time. You know, you're really going to be stepping up into making your own, you know, toward your dreams coming true with IVF, and you want to protect that space. So when you're with your father-in-law, or when, you know, you're giving care, or if you're on the phone with him, you know, if you're far away or whatever, really be with him. You know, that is sacred time where it's just you and your father-in-law and your husband. You're there, you know, sharing in that moment together. And then when you are in your, you know, back in your own life per se, and you're preparing for IVF, that is your sacred time. And you've got to be able to compartmentalize that in a way to protect the time, because the time with your father-in-law is sacred. The time with yourself and your husband is sacred. You know, you're doing two really huge life events that are happening for you. So my heart goes out to you. But being the woman who knows what she wants on this journey, because look, you can take care of yourself beautifully on this journey, and you can be a participant in your father-in-law's life. This is, we're taking a stand for the and. If you've ever been on one of these calls, you've heard me talk about that. You want to take a stand for the and. And for example, you know, I want you to play with this for yourself, but, you know, maybe your and is, I am taking great care of myself. I am taking great care of myself emotionally on my journey and putting myself first, and I'm being compassionate for the needs of my father-in-law? Because you can have both. You don't have to choose. You can do both. Now, there's something that I read here. Maybe this is the lawyer coming out at me. But I just want to get this really clear and maybe invite you to take a look at this point is that, you know, you don't know how to balance the emotional needs of yourself and your husband. You don't have to manage the needs of, you know, your husband's emotional needs. He manages his emotional needs. Yes, you are there for him, but he is responsible for himself. I would invite you to consider that, okay? You are one woman, and you are about to embark on an IVF cycle. Now, this doesn't mean you cut your husband off or you abandon him. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you are taking responsibility for yourself. Your husband takes responsibility for him. You come together and you have shared responsibility to each other. Okay, but remember, you've got to take care of yourself first. You're going to be asking a lot of your body. During an IVF cycle, you're going to be asking a lot of your spirit, yourself emotionally, that, you know, you can do this, my love. You just have to make sure that you kind of compartmentalize these things. You've got to protect yourself and not get too sucked into a situation that I know is incredibly stressful, you know, but you can't be consumed by that. And, you know, maybe it would be a great opportunity. I don't know, you know, what your relationship is with your father-in-law, but maybe have a conversation with him about that. You know, like, you know, I'm, you know, we're about to do this, you know, father-in-law, whatever his name is, you know, and I just want you to know that I am here for you. I love you. I have so much compassion for you, and just know that I'm with you. I'm also having to address this other life event. You know, and so it's not like you're saying, hey, you're sidelined, father-in-law, or that I'm more important than you. It's like, and, you know, we both have a role in this life, and I am going to be doing this, and I am also with you. So I hope that might help you, Amy, is like, you can take a stand for the and. You can take care of yourself, and you can have compassion for your father-in-law without getting sucked in. Okay. So I hope that helps if you want to talk about that a little bit more, because there may be value in us having a little bit of a back and forth, but that's at least a place to start. Okay. So let's see here. Oh, Laura says that was helpful. Thank you. I'm so glad, my love. I also have a question here from Pirani in Chicago. As someone who has gone through 4 IVF treatments that didn't work, listening to you, I was so pumped and totally positive, but later in the day, I get complacent and not so positive. How do you maintain that feeling of positivity? Is that the key? Am I supposed to always talk to myself and stay pumped, or am I supposed to let go and let myself feel it out on what to do next and let the universe guide this? Hey, Pirani, what a great question. That's really cool. You know what, my love? It's we're not looking for perfectionism here. You know, I maintain my energy because I am intolerant of other, you know, of being any other way, because I see the difference that being in control of my mindset made in my own life, and I see the impact it has in the lives of my clients all over the world. But this doesn't mean you have to be perfect. This doesn't mean that we don't have moments where we're like, oh, you know, you have a bad attitude about something, but you know, look, you don't have to levitate around your office. You know, that's perfectionism. And, you know, as a recovering perfectionist myself, as a type A control freak, former prosecutor, you know, I had to really work my way back from that. And when I realized, look, I get to be myself in all of, you know, the ways that I show up, you know, probably 99% of the time I'm super high energy. But we all, because we're human and, you know, mindset isn't like a frontal lobe lobotomy, my darling. You know, it's just personal mastery and learning how to respond. So like, you know, and I'll use myself as an example. So, you know, if something, you know, gets under my skin, like I'll say, okay, how long do I want to have a crappy attitude? I'll give myself 5 minutes. Okay, I'll go to this crappy attitude for 5 minutes, and I'll hang out in crappy attitude for 5 minutes, and then I'm done with it. Because I'll discipline myself to do that. Because look, you know, again, we're not looking for perfection here. And like one negative thought isn't going to suddenly throw off your cycle. You know, I mean, that's just fear. That's extremism, you know, getting into your mindset there and saying, hey, if I'm not absolutely perfect, I'm going to throw this whole thing off. We're human. And thankfully, the powers of manifestation don't happen instantly. You know, you don't plant a seed for something and the next minute you've got like, you know, an 800 foot tall oak tree or whatever. You know, it happens in stages. So, but what we're looking at, my darling, is you becoming very, very aware. Okay, you cannot afford to be complacent. You know, if you want success on this journey, you have to have the mindset for it. So you've gone through four IVF treatments that didn't work. Okay, and I like that you didn't use the F word here. I think it's really awesome. I love it. Gold star for you. But you say to yourself, okay, on to the next. You know, what's the next thing that I'm going to do to support my dream? You know, you're not living in the past. You're not focused on what didn't work. You're focusing on what's next, you know, and that's another way of really keeping your energy up. You know, as a strong, creative, resourceful, and whole woman, your eye has always got to be on the next thing, okay? So I really encourage you, Pirani, is like, you know, take off the perfectionist hat. You know, like if you find yourself going to, you know, a dark place, make a decision. Okay, I'm going to be in, you know, I don't know, in, you know, like using my example, if these are my words, not yours. But if you want to be in crappy attitude for 5 minutes, set the timer on your phone. Okay, I've got 5 minutes to be in a crappy attitude. And after that, I'm done with it. I'm on to the next thing, you know, and that's, I think, going to be really, you know, it gives you permission to be your real self. That's the thing is like, if part of Pirani can sometimes get a little complacent, you're like, oops, I'm complacent. I'm feeling some complacency wash all over me. You know, I was super pumped up listening to Rosanna. Now I'm feeling complacent. Okay, I'm going to be complacent for 5 minutes. And then I'm going to get my butt back on the high energy train, you know, if that feels right for you. So, you know, you get to exercise that kind of discipline once you become aware. And what I love about you, Pirani, is you are aware. I love that you have the self-awareness to say, I get complacent. Okay. And that's beautiful. Awareness is the first thing. The next piece of that, because you can be aware all day, but if you're not doing something about it, then you're going to stay stuck. So, you can learn tools and strategies for turning this around. And this is what I teach women and coach women through every single day. And if you're listening online, you can hit, there's a little gray box in the upper left-hand corner. And as part of the gift that I always offer to the Fertility in Bloom community is, you know, for those of you that actually want to work on mindset, like you're actually serious about doing something about this, then you can have a breakthrough session with me where we can talk about working together and we can talk about the specific things that you can do for yourself to really up level here. So that's for you, Pirani, but it's also for, you know, anybody else that's listening, excuse me, and is actually interested in doing something about it. Because if you can't tell already, I'm all about doing on this journey. Because like, if you really want to talk about mindset and you really want to change it, you have to be in action. We can't just sit here and talk about this stuff without you taking a step. Your dreams and what you want for yourself is so critically important. It is so precious. Don't let it languish. Get out and do something about it. So I hope that helps, Pirani. I really am excited for you. Having this kind of awareness is really important. So it's kind of a stand for the and here again, like what we were talking about earlier. You know, you said here, am I supposed to let go and let myself feel it out on what to do next? That's part of it. You know, having really unshakable confidence on this journey is being, you know, giving yourself permission to feel through something and then make a decision on what you want to do about it. You know, but it's not letting go. Like, letting go is not giving up. A lot of times people have this impression that, like, letting go and surrendering certain aspects is like, you know, it means you've given up. It's not. It's actually empowering yourself to say, okay, I don't exactly have control over this piece, but I know what I want and I'm going to go for it. And so, you know, that's where you can connect to your own internal guidance and make great decisions. So I hope that's helpful, Pirani. So we also have a question here from Rachel in Austin. Oh, oh my goodness. Hey, Rachel, good morning. Rachel says, I really appreciated your email about buying the first onesie before you were pregnant and after so many heartbreaks. Not failure heartbreaks. I love that. Good catch, Rachel. I think so many of us on this journey believe that we will be jinxed if we make concrete decisions or undertake concrete actions as if it will happen. How important is it to visualize and pre-plan if success is inevitable? You know, visualization, I mean, oh my gosh, so powerful. I mean, and that's even part of the Circle and Bloom program. That's the whole reason why Joanne walks you through these visualizations of these different, you know, aspects of your reproductive system working together, you know, imagine the egg moving down through your fallopian tube, or, you know, if you're doing the IVF program, all the different things that she leads you through. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. A visualization, you know, elite athletes use the power of visualization. You know, Serena, Venus, I mean, I use them as examples all the time, but I love Steph Curry of the Golden State Warriors. Yes, I'm from California, so I'm biased. But, you know, Steph Curry talks all about how visualization impacts his game. I mean, like, why do you think that guy, I think he is the leader in the three-point, you know, rally when it comes to basketball. You know, like, he, the number of three-pointers that that guy makes, the whole reason why he is as successful as he is because he sees it in his mind first. There's nothing magical, mythical, or otherworldly about it. This is brain science, my darlings. You know, if you look into, you know, the power of mindset and visualization, I mean, you don't have to put too much effort into finding that. You can just Google it. You can see this is a tool used by the most successful people in the world. And because they see it first in their minds, they are creating new neural pathways that make that behavior, make the decision-making so much simpler, and they have clarity. So, you know, Rachel, I would say definitely, you know, that's such an important, you know, piece of the puzzle is to be able to visualize and pre-plan. I mean, if, you know, not only did I buy a onesie, my husband and I, we bought an SUV because I knew my baby was coming. I had no reason, you know, like on the outside. You know, and according to the statistics that I was living with, and that's why I don't live by statistics, my whole purpose in life is to defy them. You know, we went out and bought an SUV because we knew it. We knew we were going to have a baby. There's no question. We just didn't know when. And, you know, I had the onesie. I had the SUV. I was, you know, always thinking about, okay, what do I want to do for my baby when he gets here? And I don't know how I knew it was a he. I just did. And, you know, I just started living my life from the perspective of what I wanted being here already. And it was just a matter of time before I actually got to see it. And that's so powerful. I mean, there's so many amazing authors. There's so much scientific research about the power of visualization and, you know, and using the power of mindset. I mean, so its efficacy is unquestionable. Like, it's out there. There's scientific and anecdotal evidence to support all of that. So, you know, you get to use it in whatever way you wish. So I'm gonna jump over to the phone lines. If you guys have a question, you actually want to talk to me live. I mean, I'm happy to take your questions via the chat feature here. But if you want to talk to me live, I mean, hit star 2 on your telephone keypad. This is your opportunity to speak to me live and shoot. You know, let's have a conversation. Okay, so I have a question coming in from Rachel in Louisiana. Rachel, I have unmuted your line. Are you there, my darling?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Ah, good morning. You're still morning in Louisiana. Okay, so what's your question for me, my darling?
So thank you for taking my call, and I appreciate all the women and their questions because they've been really helpful to me. My husband has no doubt in his mind that we can get pregnant naturally and we don't need any help. We are blessed with a beautiful, amazing son. We got pregnant this past November, and I unfortunately miscarried. And he's like, you have to change your mindset. You have to believe this is going to happen. He's all about mindset. And and I noticed that I have a hard time with statistics and reading the statistics and going online and the groups online that talk about your journey and getting pregnant, and I have a hard time, like, believing that I'm 40 and it really doesn't matter what my AMH is or what my FSH is, that this can happen for me and it's happened before and I just have to have faith and believe. And I find myself, like, doubting my husband's belief, and I don't know how to, and it bothers him because I cry and I get really, really sad, and I don't know how to believe as much as he does.
Okay. Okay. Great question, my love. Ooh, this one's juicy. Well, first of all, you're 40, Rachel. You are a freaking spring chicken. You're not 1 foot in the grave. So that's going to be the first thing. I'm going to love you enough, because when you talked about being 40, it was like, I'm 40. You're spring chicken, my darling. Screw all that nonsense that, you know, life ends, you know, for your reproductive, you know, ability at 40. Forget it. Forget it. There are women all over the world right now pregnant who are well over 40. Did you hear me when I was talking about my client who's 45 using her own eggs? I mean, seriously. Like, there are more and more women having babies in their 40s. Okay, so I want you to consider, remember earlier I said watch your mouth, lovingly. I want you to consider the way that you're thinking, first of all, about your age. Okay, I'm not here to suggest that, you know, we don't have different considerations as women in their 40s. That's cool. But different considerations doesn't mean a verdict. It doesn't mean a death sentence. It just means, okay, you know, the circumstances are a little different, but that doesn't mean it's over for me. Can you see the difference in that?
Yeah, I can.
Okay. So let's zero in on these statistics, groups online, and old Dr. Google. Okay.
Yeah.
So what's with the statistics, my darling? What is, you know, what has you bunged up about these statistics specifically?
I think it's just like my AMH and my age, and, you know, I have tried timed intercourse with medication, and it didn't have the results that I was praying for. I'm trying to not use negative language. And just reading all these stories online about other women that are just like weeping their hearts out online about how they're not pregnant yet. And I kind of get like sucked into that. And at first I thought it was helpful because I thought I've got these camaraderie of women who understand me, and I'm not dumping it on my girlfriends who don't understand. But now I feel like I've been sucked into the world of Google and these online chats, and it's just sucking my belief out of me, where my husband is like, we can do this. You need to just stop and relax and believe that it's going to happen, and it'll happen.
Okay. Okay. So let's go back to a little bit of semantics, because what you had said is you're doubting your husband's belief. Okay. You don't have to have your husband's belief. What you've got to have is Rachel's belief. Your husband has a right to his belief, and you've got to cultivate your own. You don't have to, you know, your version of that belief is going to be different than his. You know, and so that's the first thing. You are cultivating your belief. You are not adopting his belief. You don't need to do that. You are a strong, powerful woman. You already have a son, my darling. You know your body can do this. There's no reason why your body couldn't do it again, right?
Right.
You have tangible evidence of what you can do.
Yes,
pretty
I
awesome,
do,
isn't
I'm,
it?
It is. It's really awesome.
Okay, so the first thing I would really encourage you to do is mind your focus. Where is your focus? Okay, so let's, you know, if these statistics are eating away at your belief, stop reading them, love. How many more times do you have to read them to know what the numbers are? Right?
That's very true.
Yeah. I mean, are you trying to become a reproductive endocrinologist?
No, not at all.
No. Not your job. Not your job. What your job is, my darling, and I suggest to you lovingly, is you're on the road to having another baby. You don't need to. You already know the numbers. Quit it. Okay? I'm saying that lovingly. You already have the information. The information's not going to change. So you're not ignoring the information. You've just got it already. So why keep reading it? Okay, this goes back to this whole thing that I was talking about first, which sounds like it was quite timely for you about being realistic, right?
Right.
You want to be intellectually honest here. Yes, we're not denying what these statistics are, but they're not verdicts. They don't let these statistics be a verdict for you. You take the information, but you attribute the meaning you desire to give to it. Because I can tell you, when I live my life by statistics, I don't know how I got out of bed every day, right? Because, I had my son at 43, and the reality was, is my AMH, I stopped even looking at that stuff because it was so bad. My numbers were horrifying at 37, okay? So this whole idea that, these statistics are going to be the key to, what's going to happen in your life, it's only that if you make it. Because, you get what you focus on. You get what you focus on, my darling. And if you are focused on that beautiful son of yours, oh, my gosh, I bet he reminds you every single day of how powerful and how blessed you are and what's possible.
He does.
Yeah, so, use these things around you. I mean, to hell with the statistics. It's your choice. You are a creative, resourceful, whole, and intelligent woman. If looking at statistics is going to help you, you rock it out. But what I'm hearing from you, it is not. It is eating away and sucking away your belief. You got the information, let it go. Okay? That's what I would invite you to consider. These groups online, love. You've got to ask yourself, one of the best gauges that we have about whether or not something is really good for us and is really helping us is how it makes us feel. Okay, that's one of the markers for you to make a decision. Do I want to keep doing this? It doesn't really feel good. Sometimes, people will say, well, what about eating kale? Kale doesn't eat good, doesn't taste good, and I still do it. And it's like, well, no. That's different. That's very different than surrounding yourself with people that are dragging you down. Yes, you have compassion. Yes, you want to, be loving to these women, but you've got to ask, is this really pushing the needle forward for you? Is this actually supporting you? Because if you're getting sucked in and you're losing sight of your own life, if you're losing sight of your own belief in yourself, there's your answer right there. And
yeah,
you've got to also look.
You're right.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I think you're right. I am losing sight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that the other thing to consider is, you've got to understand, these other women are also creative, resourceful, and whole. They can take care of themselves. I think it's a beautiful thing that, to be surrounded by community. And, it's part of the Circle and Bloom community. But you've got to look, are these people that you're around or these people that you're interacting with, are they focusing on possibility or are they focusing on limitation, right? Because birds of a feather flock together, right? You want to surround yourself, find yourself another form of community that is uplifting, that is going to keep you focused on what you want, not drag you down. And you know what you want. It's clear to me that you want to have belief. Is that fair to say?
That I want to have belief?
Yeah, that you want to have belief in what you're doing.
Oh, belief.
You want to believe.
I want to have firm belief like you're talking about.
Unshakable confidence.
Like a rock star, unshakable confidence. And I also want to enjoy my life and not find myself watching, a Disney movie with my son and being in tears because I'm overcome by all of a sudden doubt.
Oh, yes. Well, that's what you do. You deserve to live that way, woman. So remember what I said earlier. Your thoughts have to support the goal, okay? You absolutely have to start becoming more vigilant. Where am I spending my time? Where is my focus? Are my thoughts supporting the goal? Is what I'm doing supporting the goal? Is what I'm thinking, therefore what I'm doing, supporting the goal? Is hanging out with Dr. Google? Maybe it's time for a massive breakup, a long overdue breakup. I spent so many nights with my eyes practically bleeding, trying to look for an answer, like the one study that would save me, you know, that would finally bring my son to me. You know, I never found it. And the funny thing was, is, you know, what I know truly brought my son to me was me getting control of my mindset and me beginning to have a massive injection of vitamin J. And that's vitamin joy, my love, living my life, having a great time, feeling alive. And I hear that in you. I hear that you desire that too. So take a stand for the and here. You can be on this journey and have a great life. You don't want to miss out on any of that precious boy's, like, joy or his life. Like, take a stand for the and. Be present with your son. Be present with yourself. And be on this journey. They can all coexist. How does that sound?
That sounds exactly what I need. I think I need a big, gigantic dose of vitamin J because I'm taking a lot of vitamins and I think that's one that I've been missing for the past 10 months.
Oh, that's 10 months you're never going to get back, my darling. And if that isn't leverage to change things up, I don't know what is. You'll never get those 10 months back. So learn from them, and you can make a decision starting today, starting literally the moment we get off the phone, that you're going to do things differently. And you're really going to do things instead of reading the statistics for the billionth time or hanging around on low vibe, you know, groups online and doctor Googling till your eyes bleed. Go live your life. Do things that reinforce the goal. Do things that reinforce your belief in yourself. Go take a look in the mirror and see how beautiful you are. And, like, be in absolute gratitude for these things that you love and use that gratitude to propel you forward. Okay, that's what I would really invite you to consider, because you are more powerful than you even know, my darling. Your body has done this once before. You've got to trust her. You know, like, think about it. It's like asking a friend to do something for you. You know, is your friend likely to be on your side and do something for you if you say to them, hey, I need you to do me a big favor, but you know what? I actually think you're too old, and I don't think you can do it. I mean, your friend's not going to do anything for you, right? And that's what you're basically running around telling your body. It's like, you're too old and I don't think you can do it. Who's going to do a favor? I mean, like, who's going to do you a favor? They're going to give you the finger and walk in the other direction, right?
Yes. Yes, I would, okay. I would do that.
Yes, my darling. So I really, Rachel, please, my darling, don't you dare give up on your dream. Don't you dare buy into this nonsense that, you know, I'm over 40 or I'm 40 or blah, blah, blah. I mean, no. You get to decide. Like, I am 40. I am hot. My body works. You know, like, you get to decide how you approach this. So did you get what you needed?
Yes, I certainly did, and I appreciate you.
Oh, you are so welcome, my darling. Thank you for asking such a great question. So I'm going to mute your line for your privacy. Ladies, I'm going to be wrapping this up pretty quickly, but you know me, like, I go over every single time on this because I love y'all. I just love the questions. I love being with you, and I love, you know, giving, you know, you guys the opportunity to hear something different. You know, you're always hearing about what can't happen, or you're hearing about, you know, you've got XYZ percent chance of this or that. But look, our whole point here is to encourage you to master that mindset. And mastering your mindset means you're being intellectually honest with yourself. And honesty doesn't mean negative. You know, in addition to telling, you know, people telling you, oh, just be realistic. You know, other people say, well, you have to be honest with yourself. Well, the honesty includes all of the facts, okay? Yes, that's a lawyer coming out of me, but, like, it's the entire set of facts, not just one set of facts that's, like, doom and gloom. You got to look at the whole thing. You know, what I would say to Rachel, sorry I forgot to say this to you when you were on the line, Rachel, but is this, you know, if you're reading statistics of, you know, doom and gloom, maybe instead of doing that, start reading stories of triumph. Start reading stories of women who made their dreams come true despite horrifying statistics. Read about Senator Tammy Duckworth. She had lost both of her legs in Iraq, or I think it may have been Afghanistan, excuse me. And she's a U.S. senator from Chicago, and, you know, lost both of her legs. She was a decorated lieutenant and helicopter pilot. And when she came back, she didn't give up on her dream of having babies. She got her legs blown off and said, hey, I'm still going to have my babies. And she just gave birth at 50, I think the oldest woman to be giving birth as a U.S. senator. Tammy Duckworth didn't give up on her dream, and neither should you. You know, I want each and every one of you to really think about, you know, you are such a gift. You are such a contributor to this world. You know, your dreams, they matter. They matter. And the woman that you want to be and the love that you want to show as a mother, that counts. So don't you dare let somebody else's beliefs or somebody else's set of statistics pour a bucket of ice water on the flames that are your desires. Okay, we are each here for a reason, and we have something to contribute, and don't you dare lose sight of that. Okay, so sermon over. But, you know, it really, it breaks my heart to hear any woman, you know, on the verge of giving up on herself because of what somebody else thinks or what some statistic that, you know, is being shoved in her face. Be the woman that defies it. That's what a woman who is in mastery does. She knows what she wants. She's not going to give up on herself, and she isn't afraid of digging in her heels. You know, that's, you got to look at your journey with the feminine ferocity that is your birthright. So I hope that helps all of you. So I'm going to go back and take a look and see if there's any other questions. If you have a question that you want to ask, I'll take one more live question. So if you have a question that you want to ask me live, get on it and hit *2 on your telephone keypad, and I'll come back to it in just a moment, but I'm going to look one last time for the Q&A. Let's see here. I have a question from Amy. It says, I'm about to start my second IVF cycle. My first one ended with a miscarriage, and I had 3 failed IUI. Any advice on how to stay calm for this round and know everything will be okay? I question and worry a lot. For example, I'm about to start stims tomorrow. I'm worried about bleeding too much over the past 2 days since my doctor told me I will just have some bleeding after getting the birth control pills. I Google everything since I don't have the luxury of asking lots of questions at the IVF clinic where I live. It's outside the U.S. and the doctor-patient relationship is just different. Okay. Awesome, Amy. Okay. So how to stay calm for this round and know that everything will be okay? You've got to decide that everything is going to be okay. You've got to be coming from a place of, hey, no matter what happens in this particular cycle, I'm going to be fine. You know, because remember, everything starts with you. You are the foundation. What you think and believe is the foundation, my darling. So you've got to look at the cycle and say, hey, look, you know, I've been through some things, and I know that I came through it standing, and I know that I'm going to show up as the woman that I need to be in this cycle. And you know what? I'm not going to be Googling stuff. Unless you're trying to become a reproductive endocrinologist like Rachel, just kidding, Rachel, love you. You know, what more do you have to read? You got to let the experts do their thing. And you, if you don't trust that your doctor is going to do the right thing, it's time to get another one. But I hear that you've got, you know, it sounds to me like, you know, you've got a great doctor. They're outside the U.S., which is great too. You know, and the relationship is just different, so that's awesome. You just have to know that, you know, the relationship is different and that you, of all, above everything else, are going to trust yourself. And you're going to be fine. You've been fine in the past, and you will continue to be fine. In fact, you can be great because you know that every single one of these steps that you're taking, the IUIs, the IVFs, is bringing you one step closer to your baby. Okay, you've got to be the woman that goes in there with her hair on fire, and you're not giving up. Because I don't get the impression, Amy, that if you've done all of these things, that being a mom is just a hobby for you. It sounds to me like it's really part of your purpose. It's something extremely important to you, and you're certainly not going to let any one particular round decide for you what's going to be, you know, the verdict in your life. So go for it, my darling. Make the decision that you will be okay. That's going to be one of the most important things for staying calm. You know, that was your question, how to stay calm for this round and know that everything will be okay. Decide that it will be. And the other thing is surround yourself. You know, start reading things that support that belief in yourself. You know, get off Dr. Google. Start supporting, you know, yourself through listening to things that are inspiring to you. Read stories of triumph. You know, go to my website, www.frommaybetobaby.com. You know, I've got loads of blog posts. Go to the Circle and Bloom website. You know, there are so many stories of triumph, you know, all around. You know, focus on those things, not on the things that make you feel like crap. Okay? So I hope that's helpful. Oh, one more question. Oh, Rachel and Austin. Thanks, Roseanne. I already bought all the Paddington decor for our nursery. Just wanted to make sure I wasn't going overboard. I think it's awesome, Rachel. I don't think you could ever go overboard. Paddington is cute. I love it. All right, my darlings, this is going to be the last call for any live questions. It's star 2 on your telephone keypad if you want a question. Otherwise, I'm going to be wrapping it up. So one last thing that I will say in closing, my dears, is look, remember the two things that I was encouraging you and inviting you to consider. One, quit being realistic. Realistic sucks. Realistic is tinged with shame, with limitation, and a lot of times, because of the way we typically use that phrase, it is intellectually dishonest. You want to see all of the facts, not just the negative ones, okay? The second thing is lovingly watch your mouth, okay? Be careful of the language that you're using because, look, your language is either reinforcing limitation or it's supporting possibility. I lovingly implore you, be in a place of possibility. Look, get on, if you're going to use, you know, if you're going to get online and you want to look up stories and look up stuff, forget the statistics, forget all the doom and gloom, get out of groups that are low vibrational and focus on the good stuff. Find stories of women who made the most incredible things happen in their lives because they believed, because they weren't available for low vibe crap. You know, be the woman who seeks out the stories of women who have come back from cancer to go on to have their babies, or women who have done 13 rounds of IVF and went on to become mothers. And they became that because they refused to give up. Don't live by somebody else's standards of, you know, oh, you should have given up by now. According to who? You know, I want you to think critically and really ask yourself, you know, is that really what I want for myself? Or, you know, get rid of this perfectionism that you have to be a certain way. Just trust yourself. Who cares what anybody else thinks? And go for it. Okay? Go for it. The desire to be a mom is in your heart for a reason. It's because it was meant for you. Go for it like your hair was on fire. And look, if you are ready to work on mindset, if this is something that really matters to you and you want this energy, you want to learn tools and strategies for really unleashing this, if you love what you hear in me, I'm not special in that way. Anybody can cultivate this within themselves, and it's really unleashing the power that you have within you, that is your birthright, and that is what makes the difference on this journey, is your mindset. That is what often separates a woman who makes her dreams come true and a woman who continues to struggle. Don't struggle anymore, my loves, okay? It all starts with you. And if you want to do that, you can go to my website, www.frommaybetobaby.com/breakthrough, and you can apply for time with me. Remember, that's my gift to the Circle and Bloom community, or if you're listening online, you just click that little gray box in the upper left-hand corner, and you can request that time there. So otherwise, my darlings, I'm sending you so much love from an on-fire and extremely smoky California wine country. Go and have an amazing day. Go and be the woman that you are absolutely meant to be. Don't you dare give up on your dreams, and I look forward to being with you again next month on the Circle and Bloom Teleseminar Series. My name is Roseanne Austin, and a giant shout out again to Joanne and the whole Circle and Bloom family for making this possible, my darlings. Just know that you are absolutely loved and you are absolutely held on this journey. We're here for you. Okay? Take care and have a great day.